Good morning, everybody. Or I should say good morning if you're on the West Coast. It might be good afternoon or good evening, depending on where in the world you are. And we just want you to know that God loves you and so do we.
Good morning. Welcome to church. I'm Donna Schuler. This is Robert Schuler. This is part of what we do with the Robert Schuler Ministries, and that is to come to you live with an 8 a.m. church service. That's Pacific time every single Sunday.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a few years now, and it's our honor and our privilege to come and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So why don't you join us in a moment of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can come and we can worship you. You are our God, we are your people. And so, Lord, we pray that as we continue to seek you and continue to follow you, that you will truly open our eyes to see the directions and the understanding that you have for us. So we love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I want to encourage you to go to our website. That's drschuler.org. That's drschuler.org. And you can participate in and look in all the different things we have there. We've got blogs. We have
those are articles for those of you that don't know the lingo. Most of you know by now, but those are articles, blogs. Another word, fancy word, techie word for articles.
Yeah, we have right? Exactly. So we have interviews from some really amazing people who give us insight and direction. We have some. I have more sermons on there like this that.
Yeah, you have to go to the links.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? There's all kinds of tabs on the top. In fact, we're getting ready to redo our website. We keep saying this month after month. So I think it's happening because we need to update it. So we thank you guys because the people that support us help make this happen. But we need to update it constantly to make it relevant and to make it easy to use. That's one of the things, because if you're watching live, you probably had to jump through a few hoops. Right now, the tab says, it says, I don't even know what it says, online services, I think. And then you click in there, and then you have to go to church, and then it's live, but it's only in church when it is live, because then it gets posted somewhere else. So, YouTube. So, anyway, we're trying, we're working on it. You know, we're not spring chickens anymore, and we don't have, we don't have any staff. So we figured this all out on our own. So it keeps us, it's either keeping us young or making us old. I'm not sure.
Making us old really fast. But I want to give a shout out to some of the people who are commenting. We have John Steele and Linnell Titello and Dana Von Huel and Lynn Childers. And
nice.
And there'll be more joining us soon, I know.
And we don't get all the comments for some reason on the streaming platform, I don't think. But we do our best to acknowledge people.
Yeah.
And we love y'all.
Yeah. So, and there's Rob Esterly. Oh, good to see you.
Rob.
Good
to
hear from you, Rob. But anyway, we just want to let you know that this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it.
Absolutely.
So one of the things I've been doing lately is having some kind of a current event. Let's call it a current event. And today I put in the current events, and I realized that it ties in so strongly with my message that I really can't talk about it without it being incorporated into my message. So
you don't want to bore people and bring it up twice.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I've got a whole bunch of pictures I've downloaded for you to show that how I came to these conclusions and the articles and stuff. But if, in case you don't get there, I just want you to know that what I'm going to be talking about is the UN and how important it is for us to know that the UN is not supportive of the United States, of democracy, of a free market economy. And as a result of that, anything you can do to discourage the U.S. participating and being involved with financially supporting the UN is something that's really important. So I'll be incorporating that in.
That's great. You know, I have to interrupt a second. About 20 years ago, we had a friend, her name's Pam, that actually sounded a warning about the UN. And I remember thinking she was crazy. She was saying pretty much what you're saying right now about 20 years ago, because she looked into it and she's always been really involved in pretty politics smart in politics. Well, on the periphery, but that's something she's studied for years. She's very smart. And she, I remember her talking about this.
The UN.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, oh, geez, what's wrong with her?
So the U.S. is the main sponsor of the UN, and the UN is anti-U.S., mm-hmm. anti-free market economy, mm-hmm. anti-human flourishing. I could go on down the list.
But you're going to tell us about that in your message.
I will.
About the I Am of Jesus.
You bet. Yeah.
Good.
Awesome. Yeah, because it's, I mean, I finished doing everything and I'm going, I can't talk about this before my message. This is my message.
Cool.
And it is what the scripture tells us. So, so with that, why don't you go ahead and read our scripture today? Because I'm going to be talking about.
Are we going to have any announcements? Or we
do you have some announcements?
Well, the main thing I have, and I have my fearless necklace that's showing today. I'm starting my Instagram channel. I want you all to please subscribe. It's now changed from Donna Schuler Nutrition. So forget that. If you've already been subscribed, you'll still be subscribed because it rolls over. Trust me, I checked. So I'm like, am I going to lose all my subscribers if I change the name? No. So the name of my channel, Instagram, is The Fearless Minute. All one word, The Fearless Minute. And very, very soon, in the next week or two, I'll start daily 1 minute, anecdotal, instructional, helpful videos. But they'll be 1 minute long, and they're all on fearlessness in health of the body, the mind, the soul, the spirit. And so it won't be completely churchy, if you will, but I absolutely will encourage people to find God, find Jesus. Anyway, it'll be kind of interesting. So I hope you'll sign up The Fearless Minute with Donna Schuler or hyphen Donna Schuler. You'll see it's me because there's a picture on, Instagram. Instagram. Anyway, that's
so
all.
So you're going to be on any other platforms?
No, I don't think so. It's an Instagram channel. We've got to figure out how to
put. Exactly.
First things first. We had a lot on our plate here with, we're on 6 or 7 platforms here, including our website. But I've just learned the reason you cannot find it after it's no longer live, unless you're on Facebook, is because it's not there. We didn't know. I thought it just automatically went from live to posting like Facebook, but it doesn't. So everything we've done since we started Restream, well, basically since we started putting on all these platforms, is like poof, gone unless you go to YouTube. YouTube and Facebook are the two that actually store it. But otherwise, people are like, I couldn't find you on LinkedIn. I couldn't find you on Twitter, which is now X. I couldn't find you on all these other platforms. I'm like, no, we're there. Well, they're telling the truth. If they're not there
live
at 8 a.m. live, it's gone, like poof. So I'm really discouraged. I found that out yesterday. I'm like, man, do we have a lot of work to do? There's like so much to learn in technology.
And it's constantly changing.
And we don't want to. Yeah. So that being said, don't ask me about what my Instagram channel is going to do. I just know it's called an Instagram channel. It's like a TV channel. And it's called The Fearless Minute. And I've got to put everything in order, my house in order, because I'm getting rid of some of the posts that really don't make sense to, they do, because what you eat is part of the health and of the body and the mind and the spirit. And it's part of being fearless is to commit to healthy eating. So anyway, that's all going to be explained in the next several weeks. But so please go sign up on Instagram. Okay. So let's read the scripture.
Yes, please. Okay. And offer a prayer and then we'll come back.
Yeah, of course. So most of you are familiar with Psalm 23, and that's what I'm reading today. And it's a beautiful psalm. And a lot of you probably have this memorized. I have it memorized as well. But when you read out loud to a group of people, Robert taught me this years ago, even if it's the Pledge of Allegiance for the United States of America, which I've been recited since I was a kid, he goes, no. Always read it, because something happens in front of people where your mind goes blank or you switch up lines. So I am going to be reading the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this promise. Thank you that when we go through tough times, when we go through difficulties, when we go through pain and sorrow and struggle, that you're there with us. And it's important to remember that we go through these things. We go through what we sometimes feel is the valley of the shadow of death. But you don't just leave us there. You don't just abandon us. You never abandon us. We must remember this, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these beautiful words. You prepare a place for us, even in the face of our enemies, and our enemies sometimes are negative thoughts. Our enemies can be just about anything, Lord. But you want us to embrace you. You want us to reach out to you and to find solace and comfort and courage and commitment for you, Lord. So thank you for doing that in each and every person listening today, right now. Help them to make the choice to follow you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you hear me say that even though you have something memorized, to never recite it by memory? Yeah. Remember you told me this years ago at Rancho Capistrano.
The Lord's Prayer.
That's the Lord's Prayer.
That's the main one.
Well, how about the Pledge of Allegiance? I've heard people mess up that
Pledge of Allegiance
in front of everybody at, like, say, an American Legion meeting or something, and they say, ready, begin, I pledge allegiance, and then they switch a couple of the lines, or same with our national anthem, things we've known our whole life as Americans.
Well,
but
if you're
singing
the national anthem, that's a tough one.
Well, no, I'm not saying, even when you're leading it, let's just say you're not singing a solo, when you do the Pledge of Allegiance, you're not solo, but you can really mess up the group by not reading it, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Anyway, you taught
me that. And the Lord's Prayer is the most important one because there's like three different variations. Forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses.
Right.
And so unless you're confident and you know exactly what you're saying and you...
And people are repeating back the different words as you're saying it.
Yeah, so... So on the Lord's Prayer, you got to know that's coming up, and otherwise
you. So you taught me. I started by saying I know the 23rd Psalm, but I'm not about. By memory, but I'm not going to sit here and recite it because I'll go I think, and then your mind starts going, wait, does he prepare a table? Come before the green pastures.
Exactly.
And,
our minds are.
I know they are. So should we do the offering?
Yes, please.
So if you'd like to give to this ministry, the Robert Schuller Ministries, what you can do, there's a few different ways to do that. And for those of you that already support us, thank you so much. It's really important to do something active, proactively, to support a church that preaches from the Bible, that believes in the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and also a church that doesn't ignore some of the evil things that are going on in our world, in our country, in our countries, in our world. So please support a church, a Christian church, because God is still alive, but there are people that would want to continue to take him out of every institution, that would continue to want churches to just fold up and leave, that would continue to want pastors like us to be quiet.
Yeah.
And that's not just in China. That's not just overseas in some communist country. That's happening right here in the U.S. So make sure you support a church. Most of you support the arts because that's just the statistic. I mean, people that give, the number one place they give to is the arts, meaning music and you know, different art museums, things like that. And that's a great thing. But make sure you include church, the Church of Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Christian Church.
And I was just going to add to that, that God will bless you for what you're able to give. And we had the perfect illustration of this yesterday. This past week, I've been struggling with our trademark. Doing this myself. And then we had a board meeting yesterday.
We've had our trademark, first of all, for years.
For 10 years. And then every 10 years, you have to renew it. So I made a mistake when I was renewing it. I didn't click the right button. Didn't click the right button. It's a very complicated situation. You have to read it very meticulously, and you have to know the difference between Section 7 and Section 8. And otherwise, you click Section 7 or Section 8, and it's wrong, and you're done. Then you have to know exactly how to upload this, that, or the other thing.
And there's nobody to talk to anymore, as you know.
Oh, no, there's no phone numbers. I mean, so I made a mistake, and I get the next text, the next email I get is, your trademark, it will be canceled, and you can, unless you petition this. I'm going, oh, man, so I go to try to petition it. I can't make hide nor hair. I can't figure out what box to push. And so I'm going, well, I'll deal with it. I'll have to hire somebody, and we'll have to figure this out. Yeah, and so we had our board meeting, and I said, you know, my biggest headache right now is our trademark our situation that I'm dealing with. And the board member goes, my wife is a paralegal in a trademark company. That's what she does.
The trademark attorneys, right?
Yeah, trademark attorneys. I'm going, you're kidding me. No, she can help you. So after the board meeting, I called her up, and we spent an hour on the phone, and it's all resolved.
Thank you, Rachel Murray. I know she doesn't watch. They're in the ministry, too.
Yeah, they're in church right now.
But thank you so much. You have no idea. The sleepless nights are over because that's a big deal to lose your trademark, you know, and it's Robert Schuller Ministries. So anyway, we want to keep that.
So talk about an answer to prayer. That's how God answers prayer, when we're faithful to Him and we just continue to give. And so if you want to support this ministry, I want to encourage you to do so. One way you can support our ministry is you can buy Donna's book. And in fact, I sent Rachel a copy of Donna's book. It's called Fearless Women. And you can do that on Amazon. Talk about a great gift. And Amazon will just send it straight to the individual. You put in their address. And so she'll be getting that this week. And so all those proceeds go to our ministry.
Directly.
Directly into our ministry.
Right into the account.
And then the other way you can give is the more traditional ways, which is you'll see the address here, Robert Schuller Ministries, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California. Or you can go to our website at drschuller.org. And I'm not spelling that out because it's printed right there for you, drschuller.org. And you can give, you'll see the I'd like to give button. Otherwise, if you have, you can point your cell phone or your camera at the QR codes, depending upon whether you want to give via our platform or via Venmo. So that's what we've got going on there as far as supporting our ministry and taking an offering, because it is a physical way of us being able to give.
Absolutely.
And to show. So is there anything else you had to say? How about 10:30? Talk about our church service.
10:30, we have a church service local here in Orange County. It's actually Newport Beach. We meet at the beautiful Civic Center in the community room. It is beautiful. It's it won several architectural awards when it was designed. I always like to say, you know, we were in a church called the Crystal Cathedral for many years. Robert and his dad, he helped his dad build this facility, which is no longer part of our ministry. But the point is, it's a beautiful, beautiful building with surrounded by all kinds of sculptures and beautiful walking paths and gardens. And guess what? We have what I call like a mini, what we used to have, a mini Crystal Cathedral Church, because this building is beautiful. And it's a government building. And the city of Newport Beach lets us rent it every single week, with the exception of things they've already had on their books, or the exception of voting. When it's time to vote, we get to go outside on the grass, which is lovely. But as long as it's not raining, and it won't be.
Yeah, exactly.
But it come down and see us.
What's cool about that is we're outside on the lawn having a worship service, and we're praying for the elections.
Yeah, when we when they move us outside, we have to be a certain number of feet away too, legally. And we actually have the polling people come out too and talk to us and say, by the way, you know that it's illegal to be this close to a polling place, and encourage people to vote for one a candidate or another, or a bill or another. Anyway, so it's really great that we're down there, and that's where we are. So we meet at 10:30 in the morning, and this is, of course, in Newport Beach, California. So if you live anywhere in Southern California, Sunday morning, it's easy to get on the freeway and drive, and you're not stuck in a bunch of traffic because most people are home watching the ball games or out playing tennis or golf or one of those things. Unfortunately, they should be in church. I wish they were in church. But anyway, so thank you. And thank you for what you're able to give to this ministry. It really makes a huge difference. Yeah. We know how to stretch a penny. Trust me, I already told you we don't have any staff. And it gets very difficult sometimes. But this is what God has called us to do. And this is full time for us. We don't do anything else. I mean, we do lots of other things, activities, but we don't work in any other field. So anyway, we appreciate you. We love you. And I'm going to take off and go walk the dog and see you soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just looking at some of the comments here, I want to say, give a shout out to Lawrence Goodspine, also known as Lawrence Goodsting, and Judith, and John, and Robert, and Claudia. So anyway, we've got a bunch of people on there, and so just wanted to give a shout out there. So I'm going to move over here. I'm going to start talking about our scripture for today. Our scripture is from John 10, and Donna read for us the 23rd Psalm, so that'll give you a clue as to what we're talking about. In John 10, verses 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And let me pull it out here. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." And that is a very important thing to hear and to realize under the certain circumstances we find our life in today. Internationally, there is a war going on. And that war, I'm not talking about guns and bullets, but it's a war to save the planet, climate control. It is a war for our food supply, and it is a war for our economic and our freedoms, economic freedoms, and a free enterprise. So let me just start by saying that by showing you a picture. This is a picture of me sitting on my uncle's tractor on his farm in Iowa when I was about 10 years old, I'm guessing. And you can see my uncle and his wife. That is my dad's brother. And this is the farmhouse. You see him in the background, the farmhouse. My father helped build that farmhouse out of scrap lumber that they bought from when they bought an old building. They tore it down, and they built this house from that lumber that they meticulously dissected. They literally started with the roof, took all the shingles off, kept every nail, kept every shingle, and then they continued to just disassemble that building, put it on the flatbed truck, and haul it several miles out to their farm from the town. And that was their building materials from which they built that house that you see in the foreground. So I'm sitting on the truck. My uncle is there, and my aunt is standing next to him. Now, why am I showing you this picture? The reason I'm showing you this picture is that our farmers are the hardest working people with the lowest wages you could ever possibly imagine. And I think that's true worldwide. My uncle, for instance, had I call it an old McDonald's farm. He had the cows, he had the ducks, he had the geese, he had pigs, he had chickens, he had a horse, he had pigs. He was an old McDonald's farm. And as a result of that, having a cow, actually had 26 head of cow that he milked, meant that every single morning at 4:30 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, he had to be milking those cows. And 12 hours later, he had to milk them again. Every day, rain or shine, no matter what happened, he had to milk those cows. And that is a commitment that is mind-boggling. But that's just where the work starts. In addition to that, he has to plant everything. He has to harvest everything. He has to feed the animals. He has to feed all the different the chickens. He has to gather the eggs. He has to package them. The list goes on and on and on. The day starts at 4:30, and it doesn't stop until it's time to go to bed. I know that because I spent my summers on my uncle's farm as my parents would go and travel someplace exciting around the world for 3 to 6 weeks. And I'd be on the farm, and I absolutely loved it. You could see me sitting on that tractor. What immense responsibility I had to drive the tractor while the most exciting thing for me is when we'd bale hay or straw. I would drive the tractor. Behind that was the baler. Behind that was the hay wagon. My uncle would be on the hay wagon stacking up the hay or the straw while I was responsible for driving this thing. It was amazing responsibility for a young person. And as a result of that, gave me a sense of manhood. Shortly after I went through puberty, I felt like a man, and I felt like I had responsibility. And I accepted that and a strong work ethic. I think that's what's so important about owning our own businesses. That's what's so important about farming. That's what's so important about a free market economy. A free market economy means I own the business and nobody else does. So how does that tie in with our scripture? Our scripture opens with, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So I'm talking today from the Gospel of John, starting with the 11th verse. We're going to go through the 21st verse. Then he goes on and he talks about a free market economy. He talks about ownership and the difference between ownership. These are the words of Jesus. He says, the hired hand is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. That is the strongest defense of a free market economy, of ownership, of democracy that I've ever heard. And it is what's imperative for us as a society today to realize and to understand. There is a history of people trying to decipher and delete that. You'll recognize this man. He is Mao Zedong, and he was the chairman of the Communist Party for many years. And in 1958, they decided that what they would do was abolish, or not actually abolish, but more the idea was to create farms of a farm project, and what it was called was the Great Leap Forward. So this Great Leap Forward, which was established in 1958 and lasted for only 4 years. This is actually a paper that I'm throwing up on the screen, which was a delve into and a strong dive into this great leap forward that he started in 1958 through 62, 4 years. And it is the anatomy of a central planning disaster. And it was a disaster because what they did is they tried to collectivize the farms. So here's what it says in that paper. In 1959, grain output in China. So a year later, the grain output in China fell precipitously by 15%. It declined by another 16% in 1960. And based on census data, demographers were able to infer from extrapolations of Chinese mortality trends that the total number of premature deaths between 59 and 61 ranged from 18.5 to 30 million people. If these estimates were accurate in the order of magnitude, this famine would still be the worst in world history in terms of the loss of human life. So that's the historical perspective of collective farming. Collective farming does not work. Hired hands does not work. And that's what we have discovered. Why? Because a person who owns his own farm, who owns his own plot of land, will work incessantly and will do whatever it takes to make it succeed. So in my uncle's farms were in Northwest Iowa. And occasionally they would have blizzards to the point where they couldn't see in front of their face, and it was life-threatening for them to walk from the house to the barn to milk the cows. So guess what they would do? If they saw or heard or had the understanding that a big storm was coming in, they would tie a rope from the barn to the house so that they could follow the rope through the storm to get to the barn to milk the cows. Nothing stopped them from milking the cows. As a result of that, the cows didn't get mastitis. As a result of that, the milk was in the cans and cooled. As a result of that, America was fed. And it's been that way since the start of this country. However, and Europe is the same way. However, I reported on this a few weeks ago about the Netherlands and how, for climate reasons, they're shutting down the farms in the Netherlands. So they're no longer going to have the meat production that has resulted from that, the dairy, and I reported on that. So you can begin to imagine some of the problems that we're going to have as a society if we try to do away with the small farms, the small farmer, and that is happening in the world today. That's why, and I don't know, I don't watch mainline news networks, so I don't know if they've reported on this, but here's a picture from Brussels, Belgium, on February 1st, 2024. All the farmers are going to having a march and displaying the fact that they have to be able to farm. And if they don't farm, there's going to be dire consequences. So they went to the European Union headquarters in Brussels, and you can see the commotions that they're having to take away the taxes that they're putting on the farmers. The farmers don't have the ability to handle any more taxes. They need free enterprise in order to function, in order to feed the world. Our farmers want to feed you. They want to feed me. We need to support our farmers. We need to give them everything they need in order to give us food at a reasonable price. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I've noticed the price of food go out of sight. I used to buy a pint of ice cream. There's a special pint of ice cream. It's fantastic. And it used to be $7 a pint. Last time I looked at it, it was $11 a pint. So I don't buy it anymore. It's $11 a pint. My favorite loaf of bread is Ezekiel bread. It's raisin bread. It's really good bread. Used to be $6 a loaf. It is now $10 a loaf. The price of food is going insane. And why is that? We are not sufficiently supporting our farmers. And the reason is climate change. So I mentioned earlier that I was going to be talking about the UN and some of the challenges we have in the UN. And this is one of the UN's organizations. They have, the UN is, this is called United Nations Research for Social Change. And it is, and if you'll notice, the title is Transformations to Equity and Sustainability. And this is their report from 2016 to 2020. And here's what they say in that report. The achievement of desirable development outcomes through just and participatory processes is ultimately a political project. So what they're saying is that this is a government thing, that the government needs to control everything. Social change inevitably involves contestation of ideas and interests between different groups and requires the redistribution of resources and entitlements and improvements in the institutions of governance that manage collective concerns at different levels. What we're talking about here is the UN's description of communism. That's communism. We don't believe in people having in having more than somebody else. So they look at the farmers and they've got 120 acres or 150 acres or 600 acres or 6,000 acres, depending upon the size of the farm. Excuse me. And that isn't equitable. Listen, I've got a little apartment here in New York City and he has 6,000 acres. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I should be able to share in that equity. If we're going to make everything equal, then we have to divide everything up and we all have to own everything. And that's what the UN is talking about here. The UN has become a communist organization. We see that in many, many things. I talked earlier about UNRWA, the United Nations a relief organization specifically for Palestinian refugees, while all of the refugees are all under a different organization. UNRWA is specifically just for Palestinians. So the UN is causing the Palestinian conflicts and the problems we have right now. Many of you may have heard of UNRWA coming up in the news recently because there are employees of UNRWA who were involved in the massacre of October 7, 1923 of the Israelis. So we have UNRWA, we have this one that I talked about. The UN is involved in the immigration issue that we're facing in the United States. They are funding the whole thing. And here's the bad thing about this. We are funding the UN. So we are funding this collectivist idea, this whole climate situation. We're funding the massacre of Israelis. We are funding the Palestinian refugees never being integrated, because that is the only organization in the world where you can be a citizen of another country and your children in that country. In other words, a Palestinian moves to the U.S., he has children, his children are still listed as Palestinian refugees. They're U.S. citizens. It makes no sense whatsoever. That's UNRWA. UNRWA needs to go away. The U.N. needs to go away at this point, my opinion. And so... So we talked about this. What is it called? The United Nations research and social for social change. So how are they implementing what their goals are? What they have done is they've created the 40 cities. So the C40 is the four cities. It is a global network of mayors of the world's. Of the world's leading cities that are united in action to confront climate crisis. So So let's see if I can pull up the pit. Oh, there's, so there are over 40 cities worldwide. I don't have the map of the 40 cities, but I can tell you that there's 16 in the United States. I know Los Angeles and San Francisco are one. And this is their goals. I don't know if you can see this or not, but their goal, this is for 2030, is to get the calorie consumption down of people down to 2,500 calories a day. And their goal is by 2030 to have 10 grams of meat per day. But their ultimate goal, which they have right next to them in the right column, is 0 grams of meat. And so they want to, their goal is to basically get rid of the farms. And that's what they're doing. They're getting rid of the farms. That's why we have these protests in Belgium, in the Netherlands, and it's happening around the world. These are the people who are now controlling all 40 of these cities. They are controlling their cities because they have a contract with the mayors. So the mayors have given up all authority to these individuals, which is, again, is what the World Health Organization wants to do with their preparedness as far as pandemics are concerned. So what they have done, the C40 cities, these which are the 40 cities around the world, including San Francisco and Los Angeles, and I think it's Austin, Texas. You can look this up, C40s. This is all available online. They don't hide any of this. This is not conspiracy theory in any way, shape, or form, because, again, you can go online and read all about it. They promote it. They tout it. They're proud of it. And this is what they're doing. So here is a report of what they're doing and how it's happening. And I think I got that other diagram ahead. Sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint presentation I can present these with, so I have tiny little windows to try and read this. There, that's what I wanted to pull up. You'll have to excuse me. I put the same slide up twice, but here it says adopting dietary change is the consumption intervention with the greatest potential for emissions reductions. Adopting a healthy diet, lowering meat and dairy intake will contribute 60% of the emissions reduction, 43% and 17% respectively, while the remainder is likely associated with reduced calorie intake. So here, that is their goal. This is what they want to do. They want to put everybody in the world on a restricted diet. They don't want you to eat dairy. They don't want you to eat meat. They want you to eat bugs. And this will save the climate. We could go into a whole climate thing, but the point is that what Jesus is telling us is that he is the good shepherd. He's not killing his sheep. He's not getting rid of his sheep. He's not getting rid of his livestock. He's not telling you to become a vegetarian. Quite the contrary. He is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd takes care of his sheep. You see it throughout the Bible. I think one of the most powerful statements we find about the good shepherd is found in 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 is where David faces Goliath. Let me tell you the story. David faces Goliath. He is taking care of his sheep. He finds somebody to watch his sheep while he goes to the front to bring food for his brothers. That's what was required in the time, was for all the soldiers to be able to get their own meat and their own food from their family members. So family members would go and give it. Since David was the only one who was taking care of the sheep, he had to get a hireling to take care of the sheep, which means the sheep are in grave danger because they're not, if something happens, they will probably be eaten and scattered. but he has to take that chance in order to feed his brothers. So he goes to the front, and when he at the front, he hears all the different rewards if he is for the person who is to face Goliath. And David realizes that and comes up with a plan that he knows will work. And so when he arrives at the front, his oldest brother, Eliab, heard him speaking with these men because he's getting all the information together. And his brother burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness?" He's mad at his brother, even though he needed the food. He's mad at his brother because his brother left the sheep in the field to come down here and feed his brothers. But he had, earlier in the passage, it says he found a good hireling to take care of the sheep. Now, here's the important part that we need to hear, because we know that if you own the sheep, if you own the farm, you risk your life taking care of your farm, taking care of your sheep, taking care of your cattle, and as a result of that, feed the world. This is the way God designed it. This is the way it's intended to be. And yet, throughout history, we find this repeating over and over again. Communism, and we know that communism does not work. I'll tell another story. So after I share this, so David said to Saul, Saul is the king, who said, "Hey, we'll give great rewards to whoever can kill this man." And he said, "Your servant," this is David speaking. He says, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth." Can you imagine that? Chasing a bear, chasing a lion. I've seen what lions can do. I've seen what bears can do. They're an unbelievable creatures. He said, when it turned on me, I seized it by the hair. I struck it and killed it. So he's saying, this Philistine, this giant, isn't as much as what I'm facing when I face a lion and a bear. And the only reason David faced this lion and this bear is because these were his sheep. This was his livelihood. This is what fed his family. It was a life and death situation. He had to do it, and so he did. And you know the rest of the story of David and Goliath. He faces Goliath, and he kills Goliath and saves the Israelites. We need to save our farmers. We need to save our food supply. And we need to put an end to this climate ridiculousness. We do not control the climate. God does. God controls the climate. Do we have impact on the climate? Maybe. But if it's going to cost us millions and millions of lives and create the world's greatest famine that the world has ever seen, exceeding that of the Great Reset. What is it called again? It is the great move forward from Mao. Then we have to do whatever we can to stop it. So coming back to our passage of scripture, Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." I have had personal experience dealing with communism and farms. In 1990, our ministry, the Hour of Power, was given the very first contract to work in the Soviet Union. It was a religious contract to be able to do whatever we needed to do. Why? It was actually signed by Gorbachev himself. It was contract number 001. It was signed by the head of the Russian Orthodox Church. Why did they give that to us? They gave it to us because we were working with the farmers, helping them and teaching them how to farm and how to get their produce to the markets, because at that time, Russia's was not food secure, and we were able to assist and help that. Gorbachev wanted to give our ministry tens of thousands of acres to farm to help. We said, no, we don't want that. We want to teach your farmers to farm. We don't want to do the work and do the farming. We don't want to take that land. We want them to do it. We want them to have the benefits. So we trained them in that. We trained them in dairy production and the like. And as a result of that, they gave us this permit and this number, 001, signed by Mikhail Gorbachev. Here's what we know about communism. Communism does not work. I could go on talking about this more and more. But the message we need to hear today is that Jesus is the good shepherd. And as a good shepherd will lay his life down for his sheep, so Jesus laid his life down for us, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And he is the good shepherd. He's out gathering his sheep. He wants you to be part of his fold. He wants you to embrace his understanding. The Bible gives us so much information that we can't even begin to understand. But what we need to do is just continue to open our eyes to the reality of the goodness of God. So what's my message for you today? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And a good shepherd owns his own sheep. A good shepherd knows how to care for his sheep and will lay down his life for his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters, and he will continue to guide you as you trust in him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you that you are the good shepherd. We thank you that with you we can do all things. So touch our hearts, our minds, our souls with your presence, with your reality. We pray right now for the farmers throughout Europe, that the European Union will retract their requirements, that the European Union will start supporting their farmers from the Netherlands throughout the continent. So bring down communism, O Lord. Build up a free market economy. May your words be true, that we are all created equal with equal opportunity. And so allow us, O Lord, to work and to trust in you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our country, United States of America, and around the world right now. You are God. We are your people. So we trust and we follow you, the Good Shepherd. Amen. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always and forever. Amen. God is blessing you, everybody. Go to our website, drschuler.org. Support this ministry through Venmo or through one of our giving platforms. You can write to us, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Like this. Share this message. Let the world know that God is alive.